So we ended in the field, same place that the Israelites were when they left Egypt for a week. They were walking to get to the Red Sea. The verse says that saints, now we're in the New Testament time, Jesus has died, he's gone into Hades, he's preached 3 days, Feast of First Fruits begins at Sunday morning, it's still dark, and Jesus rises from the dead. Now, the verse says that the saints were appearing to people, right? There's earthquakes, and so it wasn't just his grave that opened, but goodness knows millions of graves. Suddenly, the whole region was dead people now walking around, and that had to be a little disturbing. But it's better than that, because they are not all sleeping in late, because this is a special day. This is the Feast of First Fruits. The verse says that saints were appearing to people. Now, my question to you is, how did they recognize Moses, who had died 1,500 years before? Or the rest of them, how did they know who they were? They've been dead for so long, and they just met Jesus. But obviously, these dead folks can't stop preaching. There are thousands of priests in the field. They're waving sheaves of barley for the Feast of First Fruits. For the first time, millions of dead people are in the field. They're waving back. Hey! They just told their kids probably the story of Moses and Joshua and Jericho because they just had Passover, right? Suddenly there's an earthquake and rocks are falling. Dead people are walking around them. This is what the New Testament says. And Jesus is risen along with all of these dead from Hades. So Moses and Jesus are leading them out like they're coming out of Egypt. It's like a reboot. It's Egypt 2.0. Jesus stays in the cemetery long enough to tell Mary, "Don't touch me. I haven't gone to the Father yet." See, he has to present the first fruits wave offering. He's the new high priest. But he waits because they aren't the only first fruits. Mary and the disciples are first fruits. And he wants them to know he'll be right back. 1 Corinthians 15, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have now fallen asleep." You see, he's the real high priest, and all the dead people are his wave offering that he's taking into the field to present to his Father, and then he'll bring them into the heavens. Now, picture Exodus 12 as the host of the Lord leave Egypt for the promised land. Here's what it said. "And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, on the very same day, it came to pass that all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. The host is now leaving Hades for heaven." It's their second journey. Whatever your picture of Resurrection Day is, I promise you, you're underselling it. Don't just think Jesus rising. Think of Jesus leading all the saints from Adam to John the Baptist out of Hades. It's not one grave opening. It's a million graves opening. It's not one stone rolling away. It's an earthquake. It's walking dead meets the Exodus. The Egyptians gave these people anything they wanted to get them to leave. Imagine how the Jews who crucified Jesus felt. That had to be an uncomfortable moment. And everyone is glorified with one agenda, revealing Jesus. And that's what Passover is all about. It's a celebration. It's literally the birthday of every saint who ever lived. Now, I was saved the second Friday of August, 1979. But my spiritual birthday is the Feast of First Fruits. So is yours. So is every saint. That's when we're risen with Christ. See how that works? So that's why Passover is the one meal you shouldn't neglect. It's the feast he wants to eat with you so you can brag on him. This is his body. This is his blood. This is his bitter suffering. This is the cup he chose to drink for all of us, so I will drink it and remember him. See, Passover is the one time of year we must forget that we're all unique. Passover is never about what someone did back then. It's about what happened to me in Egypt, in the Garden of Eden, in Jerusalem. Passover isn't a history story. It's a realization that you are in the story, and the story is about you. There's one man, one woman, and they need a Savior. A person is you. You need a Savior. Nothing else is more relevant than the fact that you have a Savior. That's the most relevant thing. And that's, in a nutshell, what Passover is all about.